these kinds of ideas, that we have ideas that can be very useful for you.
So actually, they're very
touched about it. You have to understand what is the basic principle of singleness. What do you want to fulfill? What is the goal, there are different stages of life, beginning from aquatics, fishes, and animals in the water. So as the water dries up, then vegetation comes. In this way, there is evolution from aquatic to vegetable life, then moving insects, reptiles, then gradually birds, from insects, the flies come out of the land, flies, gradually comes to birds. Then from birds to bees, four legs, then from bees to human beings. Then human beings, the aborigines, and civilized, then you come to civilized life. It is generally known as alien life. So, the alien civilization, Vedic civilization. In this way, we get this human form of life, develop consciousness. Now, we should try to understand what I am. Am I this body? Or something else. That is the subject matter of the mind. So where is that department of knowledge?
Where we fit in? Where we fit in?
Yes.
We, the organizations that I work for, the government that I work for, is of course very, very different manner to in ideas and in philosophies to all of you, and you, for example. We work within, however, a situation where we are concerned that within the framework of Australia's society, which involves people, private enterprise,
people and
increasing people and
private business,
private enterprise, industry, increasing population, all of these placing demands on what naturally is Australia, what you were talking about to begin with, the evolution of Australia, the continent, the land mass, the birds, the animals. Of course, we have a magnificent and unique and diverse fauna and flora. These we must try to protect and preserve for two reasons. Our ideas are that we have to be, to an extent, slaves to the 20th century civilization, or what we call known as civilization. In other words, our function stops or is frustrated if a government won't give us money to continue our work and our research. So in other words, we have to direct a large part of our research towards people and making life and opportunities better for people. We can't, however, do that. We can't improve agricultural production. We can't improve forests. We can't improve recreational opportunities in forest lands around cities if we don't consider sympathetically, thoughtfully, and scientifically the natural resources of Australia. So it's interesting that the view mentions to begin with in the evolution, say, of the evolutionary cycle of Australia, mentioned the Aborigines. The Aborigines were, in fact, far better at maintaining and conserving the Central Australian landscapes, the Central Australian arid regions, than any of Australians since European colonisation. The Aborigines lived in almost perfect harmony with their environment for 30,000 years, 30 to 40,000 recorded years, that's how far our research can take us back. Whereas in a little over 100 years, European man in Australia has done in places irreparable damage to not only the vegetation but also the soils of arid Australia. Damage that will probably never ever be repaired because the environment is so delicate in Central Australia that as soon as our cloven footed animals, our sheep and our cattle, for example, are brought into the arid areas, they eat, they trample, they remove vegetation, this loosens the soil is very thin, it's very infertile, and it blows away. And virtually all you have left is rock. And nothing grows, of course, on rock. That's an oversimplification, and perhaps an overdramatization, but this has happened in Australia. It didn't happen when the Aborigines lived here, undisturbed by us. It has happened since European man has come. In Perth, in this city, around this city, since Europeans have come, we have removed forests, we've cut down trees, we've tilled the soil, we have changed the natural order of things, we have increased the amount of water from rain that flows through the soil, it's getting more and more salty, we are affecting our coastal wetlands, as we call them, the lagoons and the lakes and the marshes, so that they are becoming both more salty and more clogged with silt and soil and debris. Water birds can, in some areas, no longer live there. Fish are dying. A lot of migratory fish and crabs, for example, are no longer migrating to their traditional breeding grounds. So our work, our approach is, and I have to stress that it is scientific and therefore it's long term, and we're only a very young group here in Western Australia. But our approach is to attempt first to understand what has happened, to understand what is happening, and then slowly to be able to suggest ways of improving, or taking what is happening which is bad, and putting forward ideas for what might happen, which is good both for people. We're stuck with that. We're stuck with our urban, whether we like it or not. We're stuck with our urban civilization. We're stuck with our Western way of doing things, unfortunately. But, that being the case, we still
need allergies. That green, that poor.
The Aborigines? No. The Aborigines grew nothing, really. They were nomadic. They were mostly meat eaters and insect eaters. There are, for example, one of the staples of the Aborigines was a very very thick and very fat grub called a witchetty grub, which lived in the roots of certain low bushes. And these would tear the bush over, and these fat grubs would appear, which would be eaten live, eaten raw.
Without cooking?
Yes. Locally.
Simply
locally. Immediately. Ridley. The fresh of the day. They used to eat small furry animals, bandicoots, wombats. There were no rabbits, of course, in those days. Rabbit has been a disaster introduced by man, by European man. But they used to occasionally pound the grass seeds from a few species of arid zone grasses and make a kind of an unleavened bread from it, which they would then make. But generally the Aborigines were nomadic, they were shifting, and they didn't cultivate. They didn't till the soil ever. But we must, whilst attempting to provide for the inevitable Australian people and the growth of population, we must also try to do that within the confines and the dictates of nature and the natural resources which we have. Australia is very rich in a lot of natural resources, very, very poor in others. It is quite poor in water, and of course water is absolutely basic to the growth process. Australia has abundant sunlight, solar energy, which is the basis of photosynthesis, but vegetable growth. But we lack water. And in Perth, we are doing an excellent job at ruining our water. It's criminal in many respects what is going on. And this is what we must do. So we are trying to strike a balance between science for and research for the benefit of people, but it must be also for the benefit of the environment. Because
you will find out these last Bhutan, Annan, A-N-N-A-D,
Annan. A-N-N-A-D. Annad Bhavanti Bhutani Pajanyat Anasambhava Satyagyat Bhavati Pajanyo Jagya Kama Samudbhava. Translation. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of Jagya, sacrifice, and Jagya is born of prescribed duties. Purport. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, a great commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, writes as follows: Yain Gradyanga Taya Vasitam Jagam Savishvaram Vishnun Abhyacha Pachisham Ashanti Tena Adadeha Dantaram Sapandayanti Teshanta Savishvarasya Bhakta Savati Vishaya Anadi Kala Vibhidhaya Atmanu Bhava Pati Bandhakaya Nikirai Papaya Vimuchante. The Supreme Lord, who is known as the Jagya Purusha, or the personal beneficiary of all sacrifices, is the master of all demigods who serve him as the different limbs of the body serve the whole. Demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, etc. are appointed officers who manage material affairs, and the Vedas direct sacrifices to satisfy these demigods so that they may be pleased to supply air, light, and water sufficiently to produce food grains. When Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods, who are different limbs of the world, are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there is no separate need to worship the demigods. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord, who are in Krishna consciousness, offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to the Lord Vishnu, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all reactions of past material infections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of simple action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs, to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. Food grains or vegetables are factually eatables. The human being eats different kinds of food grains, vegetables, fruits, etc., and the animals eat the refuse of the food grains and vegetables, grass, plants, etc. Human beings who are accustomed to eating meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. The field's production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by demigods like Indra, sun, moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices, therefore, one who cannot perform them will find himself in scarcity. That is the law of nature. Jagya, specifically the Sankirtan Jagya, prescribed for this age, must be therefore performed to save us at least from scarcity of food supply.
Did you the only remedy is that we should perform yoga, and this yoga is in this age, yoga, performance of yoga is very costly, apparent, at the moment things are not available. So, we should perform yoga. If you don't perform yoga, then nature will restrict supply and put so many impediments. So, yoga, bhavati pajjana. If you regularly perform yoga, then there will be sufficient rainfall. There is sufficient water. It's spreading all around. There is water. There is no scarcity of water. But you cannot touch it without God's intervention. The same water will be converted into clouds and will be distributed from the land, and the water again glides down to the reservoir of water. This is nature's way. But if you do not perform yoga, this machine will not work. To get water from the sea, convert into cloud, and then distribute. This is very restricted.
But we must all perform? We must all perform?
Yes, we have to perform yoga. And that yoga, at the present moment, is very easy. So, Sankirtanani Jagai, it is reminded that you have to recognize the authority of the Lord, and in this case, simply by performing Sankirtan Jagga, he is satisfied. Sankirtan Jagga means to glorify the Lord in so many ways. We glorify the Lord, His form, His activities, His name, His quality. So, that we can and sit together, family-wise, community-wise, or in office, in factory, we can sit down together and glorify the Lord. Is it very difficult, then?
You make it sound very, very simple, of course.
Oh, yes. Why don't you accept it?
Well, I, for one, might.
But I'm not talking about two.
No, sure. Certainly. But imagine the man, as we have to consider, the man, the men, the thousands of them, on their tractors, at their bulldozers, hacking down natural forests.
He says we have to consider the men who are working the machines to take down the forest for agriculture.
Yes, and that's what we do. Sorry, the point I'm making is that there are so many people in Australia who would have no time. They are too busy making money. They are too busy doing what
they do. Doing money. If there is no bread, can we do it money?
Certainly not. It's
foolishness. That is foolishness. Money is not required. Required foolishness.
But unfortunately, of course, increasingly now, in our society, there is an increasing ability to produce food almost artificially. And this happens more and more.
Where is your scarcity? Why you are complaining the scarcity of water? Why you are complaining scarcity? If there is enough food, then why you are complaining about scarcity?
Well, I complain because I am a geographer, because I am working with an eye to the future, with an eye to a long-term situation where I can see that
your problem and my problem is not different. You are thinking, I am not thinking, you know. But you require food again, I require food again, the animals require food again, and everyone requires food again. So he there is sufficient food again. Then everyone is here.
Yes, no, or perhaps. How about in 50 years' time, then?
Huh?
How about in 50 or 100 years' time?
But you are complaining about scarcity of water.
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm. But also, sorry, I don't mean, and perhaps I didn't explain myself well enough. I do not mean to address myself only to a problem which is here with us right now. Perth, for example, right now, this city, does not have a scarcity. There's plenty of water around. 70%, in fact, of the water which is delivered to domestic homes every summer is put on gardens to make them green. It's not used for growing vegetables. It's not used for human consumption or human existence, for supporting human life. It's used for making lawns, such as outside this house, for making lawns and trees green so that the houses will be attractive and the property values will go up. Once again, it's the money ethic, it's the money situation, it's what our society exists on. It's what makes it all go round. But what I'm worried about is the situation in 100 years' time. There isn't a scarcity now, although the water is becoming less and less acceptable. Where by taking down the forest, we're letting more water seep into the soil, it's unlocking the salt that's been in the soil for thousands of years, and so on. That's our problem. It's long-term and it's complex. I'm worried about generations to come. They're not now.
These days, rainfall, sufficiently, that water is distilled. Pure water. So if pure water is distributed all over the country.
It's pure when it hits the ground, but it isn't, unfortunately, when it comes out of the springs.
He says it's pure when the rain comes down, but when it hits the ground, it becomes impure, and then the salt gets out.
It is not. Rainwater is pure.
Sure.
So, when it touches the ground, it may become impure. doesn't have it. But the water is pure. Water is coming. You cannot take water from the sea and wash it down. That is not possible. But pure water that comes down from the air, it is utilized.
But a lot of the water that is that in our dams and the water that we use for irrigation started here, which is the basis for the dairy produce of Perth, is becoming slowly, because of its contact with the ground and its travel through the soil and its seepage out into streams and into underground areas, that water is slowly becoming, in many respects, almost as healthy as
you want water.
Let's see.
If the water is in there, on the top of the hill, and if gradually it comes down, that is nature, God's ceremony, that you are fall down, and then you that is the nature's ceremony. Besides, you keep your water on the tank, and by five, you get down. But there is nature's ceremony. The water is stopped on the top of the hill. And throughout the whole year, the pipe is clear. The water must be there. That is the first point. Therefore, here you say, but Janda, you must have certain water is already there. But it has to be purified, kept on the top of the sea water tank, and if it comes down in the US, then it sets in its place. And when the water falls down, then it's sufficient water. The ground becomes clean, so it is no quality.
How much?
It's
a very complex thing. In the hills outside Perth, there are,
and this is a general plan, that you must have sufficient water. And that water must fall down from the cloud. Not by your system, you pump out water from the sea and into the
sure, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Therefore, you must have pure water. And that water is manufactured or supplied through God's mercy, not your mercy.
No, certainly not, and I wouldn't presume to suggest in any way that that was the case. What our problem is there is that because of
that problem solved, the people perform sacrifice, that is it, but now when do you move but then down and the summer. Janjar Bhavati Pajjanya, Jagga Karma Chamuja. Very simple formula. It will follow this formula. But first of all, if we want regular water source, that we want, not that if we want, we must have regular water source. So, that is possible by performing Jagga. Yajna means to satisfy the Supreme Law. That is yajna. The yajna karma samudbhava. Karma means your activities. Whatever you are doing, that is karma. You are working as a geologist.
Geographer.
And another man is working in the factory or somewhere else. Everyone is working. So, by working, the aim should be how to perform yoga. That is, that should be. Suppose you are a geographer, and I am a religious preacher, and he is a cultivator, he is a factory man, he is a motor car driver. So, that's all right. But if we sit down together, and perform yoga, simplify, glorify the law. Where is the law in your part or my part or his part? Where is the law? So suppose as a geographer you sit down, as a religious preacher I sit down, as a motor car driver he sits down, as a factory worker he sits down, and for fun jagga. Jagga means to chant the holy name of the Lord. Very easily.
I wish it were a simple effect for the majority of people.
Everyone. Even the child can take part. Even the child, poor man, educated, non-educated, rich man, poor man, worker, everyone can sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Mantra. So why don't you accept this?
That is what I haven't.
Huh?
But then how about the people living next door, or the people...
They can form their own several groups. You can form your group. Suppose there are 100 gentlemen in this neighborhood. We can sit down. If they have no time, they can sit down with family members. Everyone has a family. Everyone has got his wife, children, or somebody else. That's why. Sit down. Or have a giant hurt. Very difficult.
Very difficult at all. But it doesn't happen, does it?
But you have to do it. That is all okay.
Sure. Yes, I can see that. But why aren't people doing it? Why aren't more people in Perth, in the city? Why aren't more doing it? I think one reason.
That is because people should be educated. That if you do not perform this job, you suffer.
But of course there are conflicting educational functions.
What am I doing? What is really wrong there? That if we sit down together and chant Hare Krishna without any loss of our factory or what, but if there is some gain, why not try it?
That's a wonderful idea, a beautiful idea, and a very simple sounding idea. How about the Anglicans, the Roman Catholics?
Roman Catholics, we don't say that Roman Catholics cannot perform them. We say that you chant the holy name of God. So Roman Catholics, they have God and not no God.
Well, they think they do a lot of that on a Sunday morning.
Whatever it may be, any religious system means connection with God. Is it not?
Yeah, well, it's all basically.
Without God, is there any religion? Any religion? Is there any religion who will say, no, we have no God? Is there any religion?
No.
So we are asking, chant the holy name of God. So, if you are Roman Catholic,
anybody's God.
Anyone's God. God is one. God cannot be two. But we are...
Roman Catholics don't agree with you and that, do they?
Huh?
Roman Catholics don't agree with you and that. Roman Catholics have their own... Roman... This is one of the problems. It's very near as simple as I'm sure, as you said, and I wish I
was... It is simple.
The Roman Catholics are jealous people. Roman Catholics are jealous religious people. They refuse, even still, to accept, for example, that Anglicans pray in the same way as they do. They refuse to accept that Anglicans pray as well as they do.
No, I'm saying that many Anglican, many Roman Catholic, many Christian, many Hindu or Muslim or anyone, whether they are God in their conception of religion or not. Do they have God or no God?
So they must have to be religion.
So I am asking that you chant the holy name of God.
Mm.
If you are God, you chant the holy name of that God. I don't say that you chant the holy name of my God. You chant the holy name of your God. God is one. They say water. Somebody says water, somebody says pani, somebody says jal. But the aim is water. Similarly, God, I may say Krishna, you may say Jehovah, your Muslims may say Allah, or others may say something else, but the aim is God.
Well, why not be better off then? Because obviously, therefore, going on what you just said, there are a lot of people in Australia every day, perhaps certainly once every week, chanting the name of their God. Mm. Why then do we still have problems? Are there not enough people chanting to their God? Was it the one God?
So, problems. Suppose we have aborigines, they have gods, they have their name of God?
Yes, well, they have multiple gods, yes.
So, if they chant the holy name of God, there is no loss. At least there is no loss.
No, certainly. Oh, they were the Sabbath.
So why not begin this? There is no loss. You're not losing anything. Suppose we do chant.
Why do we say it for God?
As a... so your salary is not in decrease.
Certainly not, yes. But why is there? If people are in their own way, then, counting to their God,
ultimately it requires sufficient supply of water to grow your food, vegetables, or even if you have animal eater, to maintain your animals, he requires sufficient water. And that is recommended, that Jagannath Bhavati put, and the Jagannath Bhavati is very simple, chanting the holy name of God. So, why not introduce that every home, every factory, every community, every place, they should sit down at least for half an hour and chant the holy name.
Could I ask you very simply, if you suggest this, if we all do this, will that, for example, remove the problems that we do, that our society in any way generates for ourselves? We have more and more pollution. Depending on the way the wind blows, for example, we get at times choking pollution from the industrial complexes south of the south of the city. Are these problems going to be
the next whole thing, if you get sufficient grain for eating, why do you take
to make money? Very simple.
And what money? Money means he requires the necessities of that. So,
but that's not what the multinational corporations that enjoy using Australia's resources. I'm going to say, all of the hills to the east of Perth are almost entirely made up of bauxite, from which, of course, we get, not that, but still, from which we get aluminium. Aluminium is a very favoured material now. The West Indies are rich in it, and a few other countries, but not many. Australia is now part of, as they call it, part of the bauxite club, and Dr. Cairns, our Deputy Prime Minister and Treasurer, was some months ago talking with a number of people in the West Indies about fixing world prices for bauxite and eventually aluminium. America has Comalco and Alcoa, two very large international groups, have large interests in the bauxite in the hills around Perth. They are in it to make money. They're in it to return money to their shareholders.
There are two ways of living. One way of living is called material enjoyment. Or sensual enjoyment. This is one way of living. In Sanskrit, it is called pravittima. How can you earn more? This is called pravittima. That is when the whole total dependent moment, the whole civilization, throughout the whole world, everyone is trying to get more money. More money means more sense. More money means more sense. This is called pravittima.
Or maybe less enjoyment, but more possessions.
No, enjoyment in this way of life, more sense enjoyment, you'll never be able to enjoy our happiness. regular form. That is the nature of the if you simply want to adjust, you can adjust. But you need simply more disease. So this is one way of life. That you enjoy your senses and create more disease. This is one way. And if you want to decrease your miseries, then there is another life, which is called simple life. Simple life means you produce your food and you produce your flour. So you dress yourself nicely, you eat yourself nicely, keep yourself fit and growing vibrant. This is one way. And the other way of life, that we don't care for the law. Let us enjoy the senses to the topmost capacity and be happy. But this way of life will never make you happy. You simply go on studying. This is one way of life. The another way of life, that the human life is meant for God's reality. That is Vedanta philosophy. Now, by evolutionary process, we have come to the human form of life. It is meant for asking, what is my constitutional position? Am I this body or handsome spirit? The dogs, he cannot put this in place. Dog, he thinks that he is dog. He's jumping, he's barking, anything, sleeping, having sex. But if I ask one dog, please sit down, hear the word Gita, it is not possible. But you are a human being, if I ask you, Mr. Serpent said, sit down, hear from the word Gita, you can. First of all, we must know the difference between dog and me. The dog is incapable to understand that. But human beings, just like we are selling this book in the Western countries, many millions of people, because they are human beings. They are not selling among the cats and dogs. A human being does not become inclusive to understand what he is, in which way his progress will be made, then he remains alone. The law cannot do it. We have got the capacity, if we neglect this facility and remain like a dog, simply engaged in eating, sleeping, sex, and defense, then we remain dog. Then again we become dog. The opportunity was given to us to understand the problems of life, how to solve. If you don't take this opportunity, facility, if you simply remain like that, then we are next life. That also they do not understand. Say, there is next life. Do you believe in the next life? Do you believe in the next life?
No, I
don't. You do not?
No.
Yes, I see.
So then,
now,
one bad material.
Then, no, I don't believe it.
But I will become an old man anyway. Of course, my life. I will become an old man anyway. And of course,
that's what there's future life. If you say, I don't believe in it.
But are you talking about like reincarnation, life after death?
Yes. Reincarnation, you are not believing. Where is your that childhood body? Where is your body?
Here it is. It's grown.
No.
It's grown.
No, it's changed.
It's grown. It's changed. It's evolved. I have evolved. Just the way
anywhere
I have lived, and I have evolved situation.
That's what I have to understand. Anyway, that your boy's body, a childhood body, is no longer. Either you say change or grow, whatever you say, it doesn't matter.
But they're the same bones, same soul.
You are the same man, earthly man. You understand that you are a child. Or you are a boy, a school boy, gently. You remember that body. But that body is not existing. That's a fact.
I can't agree.
Why not?
Because
suppose somebody has seen your childhood body, and many years they have not seen it. And all of a sudden comes up with your father's friend. So, I went to say, oh, you are the same? He said, why? Because he saw you in a childhood body.
But I'm less interested in what someone...
I don't think that you have seen your body. The other man said, oh, you have grown up. Generally, they say he has grown. But the actual position in the body has changed.
But they're the same bones. They're the same bones, same skin, my face looks
not the same.
Not the same.
Medically, it is not the same.
Well, the functions are different, but
not
the same heart.
The
same veins.
Just like in your childhood, when you were born, you had no sex impulse. Now you have a sex impulse. Yes, your body of a child. They cannot understand sex life because the body is different. And now, because you have a different body, he can see what is expected. So, it is imperceptibly changing. Therefore, we think that it is growing. But it is changing. It is changing swiftly, just like in the cinema pool. The picture is changing. But because it is changing so swiftly, you are seeing that one man is good. That is the fact. There are hundreds of thousands of pictures passed on when you see that this man is taking this seat and bringing this way. This means there are many pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, it is like a school. Your body is changing every moment. That is medical science.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you are changing. So you are changing your body. That's a fact. But because you are seeing all in one school, you are thinking it is growing, it is moving. That's all. But it is changing. This is the science. So your body is changing. And you remember that you have such and such body. Therefore, you are different from the world. This is the science. So unless we understand that I am not this body, I am different from the body, I am changing body, therefore I will have to change this body and accept it. This is the science, beginning of scientific knowledge. Without understanding this fact, his advancement of knowledge is simply for eating, sleeping, sex, and illness. There is no answer. According to Vedic literature, he remains animal. Saiva Gosha, Jasratu Buddhi, Kunapi, Siddharthi, Sadhik, Palatra, Zubhoma, Ibjati. That three sabuddhi sarirena parhichi janesu avidyesu saiva bhoka. If we cannot understand ourselves, it is very simple. I have shown my body so many times. Naturally, when this body is useless in this life, then I will have to accept them. This is the first time
Translation. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change.
But if you have no education, that is the effect on knowledge. This is the fact that you are accepting every moment a different body. So after that, you'll have to accept another body. Now, we should know what kind of body I'm going to accept next. That is it. That is the reason.
Do you mean that then will allow me, if I come to that realization, that will allow me to then continue to improve my mind, continue to study, to think, to gain knowledge?
Yes, sir. Yes.
But beyond, say, the normal 65 or 70 years that I might live in what I...
The knowledge should be
disqualified.
The knowledge should be acquired from the beginning of when child. But he, by circumstances, I could not get this knowledge from childhood, then we should begin immediately. Because unless we get this knowledge, our life remains imperfect. We remain animal. The animal does not know this. And after evolutionary process, coming to the human form of body, if we keep ourselves in the darkness of animal life, then all this opportunity is lost. This is the first part. Unfortunately, the modern education is leaders, they have no education, they are thinking just like animals. Damn this body. That's what you are thinking. You are Australian, I am thinking I'm Indian, you are thinking I'm Indian. Only on this body we concentrate. But we are not this body. We are different from it. So, unless you understand this point, our aim of life, our standard of civilization, is incorrect.
I suppose it's very easy to understand and to credit that so many people will be thinking maybe this way because that's part of the basis of being selfish. And after all, a lot of people, particularly, I would imagine, a lot of Australians, are basically selfish. They are interested far more in what they can get and do for themselves, not necessarily by working hard, by striving, or by reading, or by thinking, or by studying. The old saying, the past
the human life is meant for acquiring knowledge, real knowledge.
But so many people, they see it that way.
That is one clever man must be thoroughly conversant. Totally aware of the things as they are. They are called brown. Therefore, the society should be divided into four classes. The first class man, who have got full knowledge of life and the problems of life, that should be the first class. They may be very few, they are not. Ideal class. People will learn by their behavior, by their character, by their knowledge. So, much clearer. But the next class will be the administrators. They will be advised by the first class man, and they will administer the state. And the third class man, they should produce food, enough food for the whole population. And the fourth class man would assist these three higher classes, first class, second class, and third class. This is their nature current. There are first class men, there are second class men, there are third class men, there are fourth class. But if you produce simply fourth class men, there cannot be any adjustment. It is the chaos. That is the present position. There is no first class man, there is no second class man. There may be some third class men and all fourth class. is infinite. Therefore, the whole human society is theatrical. The patriarch man should understand that which is called Jira Tattvanami. What is the meaning of Jira? This is
okay.
Solar. Gentle.
Good.
He understands easily. Because,
but would you, this thing, the attainment of this first class, which if I understand you correctly, you're saying is very, very necessary for the removal. Yeah, sure. But you're saying that we don't have the first class man. But
he did.
But
they didn't have him to it.
Fine. But how about then? The ancient and maybe even now the latter day philosophers, the men of sobriety and gentleness, the Bertrand Russell's
things. There's absolute chance that you have been gender as Jira. Clearly, a certain man can be gender as a person.
But trained by others or trained by themselves?
No.
Truly trained
by an institution.
But trained by oneself.
No,
or a Bertrand Russell.
You have become not by your.
But we're not talking about me. I mean, I'm nowhere near what you're saying as a first class. I'm talking about our latter day, sort of our latter day philosophers. And Bertrand Russell is a person, for example, who for gentleness, sobriety, and thought, whom I admire very much. And he has attained that himself. He hasn't been, he was certainly, as we all must be, surely, trained to begin with. But
that's
then, what the process of individual thought.
We have got to find institutions. This is for educating engineers. This is for educating medical men. This is for educating geographers. And different departments.
Oh, sure, to begin with. They must.
Similarly, there must be a department to train first class.
That is it. We don't have them in our ministry.
So therefore it is chaos. No first class man. Or third class, fourth class.
What are the specifications for your first class man?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Find out. Sattva, sama, dama, tisikha.
Sattva,
sama, dama, tisikha, brahma, karma, svabhavika.
Sattva, asattva,
sattva, asattva.
Jnanam Vijnanam Asitam. Asitam. 1842.
Yes.
Sama Dhammas Tappa Socham Chanti Ajavam Evata Jnanam Vijnanam Asitam Brahma Kama Sambhavajam. Translation. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work.
This is what special. Who decides whether a man, then, fits into those criteria and becomes a special man? Who decides? Who is to say whether a man is a special man?
It will be first about qualified like this. Okay?
Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness.
But once a man has strived for those qualities, how does he know when he's attained them? And
Means equilibrium of the mind. I should say that in such a way that he is not disturbed in his mind in any type of that is personal. And Dhamma means controlling the senses. Naturally, I find one little low man, I want to talk with him, and he is others' wife. But I should know, why should I talk with others' wife? This is Dhamma, controlling the senses. So, Sama means keeping the mind always equiposed, and Dhamma the controlling the mind. And suppose if I have to eat something, to live, so God has given me so many nice foodstuffs. Food, grain, fruits, meals. Now, why should I kill an animal? Unnecessary. And for the taste of my tongue, sufficient. I want to live. Whereas in India, 80% of people, they're vegetarian, they're living in the natural. They're eating insufficient food, grain, and fruits, and meal, and meal products. But I think that, so many. So why should he maintain slaughterhouses, killing other animals? So a first-class man will not do that. A first-class man will think that I want to eat something to keep myself fit. Keep my natural products. I can keep myself fit. Why should I kill another animal? And every year, teaches them by taking a Christian religion. For Christ says, thou shalt not kill. And they are mentioning shadows. So, this is the condition of the society, how it can become happy. They are violating the rules and regulations of religion. And God, we cannot be wrong. Nature is disturbed. And so, that is nature's business.
But certainly, this of course, how used to it, we like it.
No, I am not talking about two particular
things.
Generally. So, this is first class man. Sama, Siddhika. Now, suppose I was not a first class man, I was a fourth class man. Now, I want to become a first class man. So, I was eating meat at this bar, European American bar. They're eating everything. Now, they're dinner. On my word, or to associate with me, they're dinner, he's eating. It is his sex, meat eating. So, in the beginning, it made it disturbing, because I am habituated to all these things. And by my spiritual master, I order not to do this. So, it made it disturbing. And that's practice of tolerance. No, I have to do it. If I want to make progress to become a class man, this is order, so I must give it the tolerance. Even if it's disturbing. In the beginning, it's not disturbing. It's in the beginning, because I'm habituated to do something. Just like a thief. If you ask him to become honest, then it will be disturbing for him. It will be habituated to steal. So that we have to tolerate. Therefore, it's called kritika. Sama dhamma kritika ajava. Ajava means simple life. Simplicity. That if I can live in this way, why should I apply so many things for activities of life? This is Bhagavad Gita. Sama dhamma kritika ajava. Then jnana. Jnana means knowledge that I am not this body. I am still soul. My ascendant is bad. This body is not important. Religion, force within the body is important. actually the living force goes out of the body. What is it? Well, many great geographer or scientist or professor Einstein, whatever. Actually the living force is not your misery. This body is your toy. That is the end. That I am taking so much care of this material body, which will not exist, which has become dust thou art, yes, again you can mix up with this dirty things. I am taking so much care of this body, what about that living force, which is important? Nobody is taking care. Therefore they are not in jnana knowledge, they are in ignorance, just like actions of this called jnana. And the vijnana. Vijnana means practical application of the knowledge. That is called vijnana, science. Scientific knowledge. Jnana and vijnana, astritam. Astritam means to believe in the authority. That is called astritam. Just like we are speaking about this Bhagavad Gita. Because it is spoken by the most supreme authority, Krishna. To believe in the authority. You also believe in the authority. But ultimately, in this way, if we acquire this qualification, then you become Krishna. Anyone can you tell now? That's why you go ahead. They are fourth class, fifth class. And now they are Krishna. To become Krishna. But just like anyone can become geographer. Anyone can become engineer. You have an opportunity. Do you think
we'll make progress?
Yeah, you have that.
They
are all within 50 years.
And your aim, all of you, is to become a suffering?
Yeah.
Does it matter how long that takes you? Can you become a first class man soon, within 5 years?
Oh, okay. Yes. Should I need that? That is it. We can make in 1 year.
Mm. I'm sure we will. Well, I hope I won't give you offense if I look at my watch and say that.
Yes, it is a very important matter. It will not spare time. That is your reason.
But I'm afraid my life is one of these selfish fires of life that's
not just natural, just say why first class man required.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in your body there is first class part, second class part, third class part, and fourth class part. Because your head is the first class part of your body. Your head is cut up and everything stays true. Similarly, even in society, if we don't create a class, that society is dead. That society is dead. So at the present moment, there is no first class life, according to this book. Therefore, there is going to be problems and change. So unless we create at least a 2% of the people first class life, according to this study, there cannot be any problem. This is my last point.
Thank you. I wish you all well, and maybe I should think along those lines myself.
Yeah.
I've been most interested in talking to you.
It is necessary to create a class on that, first class.
Mm.
Idea. If you all create fourth class,
thank you. Excellent talking to you. Thank you very much. And I wish you well in Melbourne.
Yes.
And then in Hawaii.
Yes. Fiji.
Fiji.
You can see the evidence.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Here's a sweet we've made from milk.
Yeah.
Milk.
Thank you.
Good night.
Yes.